the Vietnam War. It's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at 5starchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew. Here we are, the second show for August in the year of our Lord, 2018.
Oh, Lord.
And this is our second show without Keith, Kyle, Steve, Paul, Ron. And I'm okay with it.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm fine with it. It's fine. But as replacements, we're going to be alternating, if you haven't heard the other show.
I'm a replacement.
I'm a replacement.
Hey, we're the replacements.
I hate the replacements.
We're going to have Brian Shaw, Esquire, and Miss Nicole Ernie. Not Esquire, I guess. Do you read Esquire magazine? And that's the same thing.
MCNE over here.
Oh, hell yeah. And then, of course, we're going to have our friend Matt Sager in every once in a while, but he was too good to show up tonight, so...
I'm still Brian.
and still Brian. Always Brian.
And
always
Brian's
and
here.
Still Brian.
And
hello?
Brian.
Here. What are we doing?
Brian's still here.
This show, too many Brians.
This show today is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals. You can go to 5starchemicals.com to learn about the best ways to clean and sanitize your home brewing equipment. That is possibly the most important thing to do, is make sure you have clean and sanitary carboys and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Work chillers, if you use one of those plate chillers, man, if you're not cleaning and sanitizing that thing, you throw it away and jump off a cliff.
Clean your sink with it. I mean, if you have to clean some brewing equipment, just fill up a sink with PBW. And
man,
like,
I use PBW to clean my sink
clean
all the
stuff,
time.
And then, yeah, run it down your
PBW.
Disposal.
So good.
It's great.
Yeah. I do my silverware like once a year. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Stainless steel. But.
Time to clean the silver.
Hell yeah. All right, Brian, what are we doing today, man? What beers do we have?
Well, we have a Hoppy Cal Common, and we have an Old Ale that I actually had some involvement with that Kyle from the last show left for us.
I like it.
It's interesting because it's a barrel project beer, and I've never tasted the non-barrel version of it. So this is his beer that he put into the barrel with 60 gallons, all together in a port barrel.
So everyone brewed a little bit, and then this is his contribution to the blend.
Yeah, and he saved some bottles. I'm like, oh, man, I should have done that. That would have been a fun idea.
That would have been good times.
No, I put it all in.
Right. Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead since we have no real guest. Let's start drinking
There's
a beer.
No which one? Let's drink a beer.
Which one are we going to drink right now?
I think we should start with the Cal Common.
Would you mind pouring me some? Whoever has any.
Yes.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian has a whole growler full of it.
Okay, Esquire. Who wants to start off with the Cal Common while Brian pours me some? While Esquire pours me a beer.
Esquire is not judging his own beer, so
is this your beer, Brian?
This is my beer that I brewed.
Well,
we'll talk about the details later.
Okay, sounds good.
I passed that to you right over the board. Is that okay?
It ended up being just fine.
So, yeah, I'll go ahead here.
All right, go ahead,
if that's
Brian.
Okay with you, JP.
Oh, I don't care.
I worked here for a long time. I feel like I've earned the right.
Just
finally once go first here.
Right, finally.
Aroma-wise, it's got a low kind of base malt and a very faint caramel quality to it. Some slight toastiness.
I'm getting something kind of sharp in here. It's like is that a minty hop? I thought it was kind of a minty hop, a little high for the style. And Brian already told us before we judged it that it was a hoppy Cal Common. So I'm looking for that hop to stand out. But honestly, it wasn't like, oh, it's a hop bomb. It's just, you know, covered with hops. It's not insanely out of balance in the hop side of things, but something's poking out of there. I actually get a low, medium low kind of acid aldehyde in there, and kind of it's like Nicole said, that kind of how your breath smells when you are, you know, recovering from having drank too much and your body's processing all that shit.
Not the Taco Bell.
Yeah, not the Taco Bell. The booze part.
Taco Bell is good.
Yes. So it's just kind of sharp overall. I didn't get any diacetyl or DMS in it, but that acetaldehyde is kind of poking out there. Appearance-wise, it's a light orangey, pale amber color, almost no head at all upon pouring, just a low ring of some large white bubbles that faded almost immediately. I gave it a 1 for appearance out of 3 points, just because head fell and it's hazy. The color's right.
I gave it a 5 out of 3 because it's hazy.
Yeah, hazy.
All right, come on.
So in the flavor, I get a toasty malt, but it's kind of coming across a bit oxidized and stale tasting. I don't know if Brian abused it in the growler on the way here, but
I think he verbally abused it on the way here.
He was berating his beer.
You stupid. We'll discuss my transport in a moment.
The bitterness is medium low, kind of out of the way. And there's that, again, kind of that sharp, minty quality. Is it the hops? Or I don't know. Yeah, but very low fruitiness. It's kind of lager-like in its impression, the fermentation character. It seems like it was pretty cleanly fermented, but might be kind of young. The balance is slightly to the malt. It's not overly hoppy. I don't know what he was talking about. Little mintiness in the aftertaste. Finish is fairly dry. It just tastes kind of green. And again, from that kind of acetaldehyde thing going on there, green and a little stale at the same time, which is odd. But
I'm an overachiever, Brian. If I can have multiple things happen at the same time,
I've staled my green beer, and it's a new thing.
I get that a lot from beers that have been in a growler too long, or if they've gotten warm in a growler.
Yeah, it's fresh
those
beer, but
it's happened. Well, we'll talk about it later.
I think they may have happened.
So mouthfeel wise, medium light body. I'm not getting any warmth here. Not very creamy. No real astringency. Carbonation is very, very low, so you have to knock it down a couple points for that. It's just. It's not expressing itself properly here. He berated it too much, and it lost all its self-esteem. overall impression,
bubbly self just completely diminished.
It tastes a bit too green, too young. Don't service this stuff, Brian Esquire. It needs to condition more.
That's right.
Bring it to NCHF, and we'll taste it there once you got it all carved up, ready to go.
There you go.
And it's been conditioned properly. But in this state, it's a 28 to me. So, but thank you for sharing.
Okay. So that's good. In California, it's a 28.
Good.
All right, Nicole, go for it.
So,
huh?
Also, something that the audience should know about me.
Yes.
Is that I am especially sensitive to acetaldehyde.
Yes.
Fun story. Way back in the day when I was doing the homebrew class with Brian, because I studied with Mad Z's, when I was preparing for the first time I took the BJCP exam, we did an off-flavor kit. And
the
I
Siebold class.
I could not taste acetaldehyde. I was like, this smells and tastes exactly like the control. Mm. And it's something that I've trained on, and that over time, not only did I learn to detect it, I've become hypersensitive to it now. So I can taste acetaldehyde at below average threshold levels. So I pick it up in a lot of things.
So you're a mutant.
Wow. It's frustrating because it ruins a lot of otherwise good beer.
Dude, doesn't
for me.
It? Yes. That's what I hate about the more I learn about beer, the less I like it.
But then when you find the beer that's just like extraordinarily high quality, like you can enjoy it more than other people.
That's true.
But you can't share it with anyone. It's a lonely place.
I know.
You know how hard that brewer works.
It's like, you hate every beer. Well, most beers, yeah, I do, because they're kind of not very good.
I'm really glad Nate and I have the same hobby, because we can share these things.
The power beer couple.
You're not alienating one another.
Anyway, yeah, so the strong acetaldehyde in this beer is really overpowering to me. And, like, some of the ways that it expresses itself to me in this beer is, like, raw pumpkin.
As we all proceed to smell this beer and taste the raw pumpkin,
it does smell like fresh cut pumpkin.
Oh God!
When you're
now that you
pumpkin.
Say it, I can't get away from it.
Yeah, raw pumpkin. That's one of the ways that I learned acetaldehyde, because everyone was like green apple. Right. I'm like, this doesn't taste like green apple, and then I finally got it as raw pumpkin one day, and a lot of people get it that way.
Yeah, and I would have maybe thought like green cantaloupe also had I originally smelled it, but the pumpkin really puts
the pumpkin skin
a spice
kind of,
on it.
Yeah,
so pretty pumpkin much spice. Any it puts the pumpkin spice on it. Yeah,
thank you.
It's almost here, JP.
It's a PS.
So close, you can almost taste it.
JP is such a white girl.
I think Trader Joe's might have some pumpkin spice in the store already.
Look, man, JP. I like pumpkin flavored food. I like it. I don't do the pumpkin spice latte because I don't have like that much milk in my coffee. But I'll tell you what, I like pumpkin foods.
Spice.
I don't give a shit. Pumpkin flavored Cheerios. Hell yeah, let's
You're
go.
So basic. Mm.
So anyway, that pumpkin flavor. Or it's pretty. You said raw cantaloupe. Like
yeah, cantaloupe. Or even like cucumber.
Any underripe fruit is gonna have acetaldehyde.
Okay.
I was made very upset. Avocado is one of my favorite foods. And someone pointed out to me that underripe avocados have a lot of acetaldehyde. And now I can't eat underripe avocados anymore.
Oh, my God. Now that I think about that, raw pumpkin and that kind of really hard avocado, they're really kind of similar.
I had never made the association, and so I was kind of just immune from it in that context.
Knowledge
and
is now power, Nicole.
Yeah, or like, I'm the pickiest person about avocados you've ever met.
Nicole is blowing my mind right now and laying down some knowledge. This is pretty crazy.
20 minutes in the store to pick one avocado.
And sometimes I still fail.
That's my wife, dude, for sure.
I must slice it immediately.
So underripe fruits in general. And so when they say green apple when they're talking about acetaldehyde, they're not talking about a Pippin or a Granny Smith that's in its ripe stage. They're talking about an underripe apple. So I compare it to crab apple or even a cider apple, you know, like something.
Right.
Even something that's
not like the green Jolly Rancher flavor. But more the just green as in unripe. Yeah.
Exactly. So this beer for me, that aroma is so intense that it kind of masks other flavors for me, and it's hard to pick out other things. But it's not, it's not gag level acetaldehyde for me, which is pretty low still.
Not gag level. Yeah.
So I can actually still taste some other things in the beer. The malt flavors, there was this kind of like rustic bread, this kind of multigrain bread kind of flavor, which for me, like, I think of Cal Common as being this rustic style of like, it's the Wild West, you know, it's this.
Like not a rounded, mellowed beer. It kind of has a little rough edges maybe a little bit.
Yeah, this is like the oldest traditional American beer style. Pretty much, you know, you can fight me on that. There's not a lot of documentation on things. It may be cream ale, but like, Cal Common is so uniquely American, I like an unctuous kind of rustic quality. I don't want it to be too pretty or too clean. So I like that rustic bready character, like Rye Vita crackers. The hop aroma is like that earthy and minty. It kind of goes to like a Pennyroyal, if you've ever smelled that kind of mint, has that kind of like dusty hay and mint kind of combined. I did get a slight vegetal character. It might have been from the intensity of the hops. And
probably
then,
all that pumpkin.
Yeah. Well, separately.
I fermented it into a pumpkin. That's true.
I did also give it a 2 out of 3 an appearance because of the haze, even though... You know.
Oh, I gave it a 1 on appearance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even despite my 5 out of 3 joke for the haze. Yeah, for all the haze bros out there, God bless you.
Yeah.
Haze bros.
Hazy means it tastes good.
Yeah. let's see. I think I talked about the flavor already. Although once I sipped the beer, this other kind of character came out. I was getting kind of like a... Do you know what slippery elm tastes like? You know,
I don't even know what slippery elm
is. It's like a common like cough drop thing.
You could be making stuff up at this point. I have no idea. Pennyroyal and slippery elm. I feel like she's casting spells.
These are herbs.
It's very Wiccan of you. Yeah. The solstice is coming, fuckers. Get ready.
I rarely go out and lick a tree in the woods, but when I do, it's a slippery elm.
Slippery elm is actually a really interesting flavor that you will taste again in beer. So if you don't know what it tastes like, go out, buy yourself some Fisherman's Friends lozenges, and that is predominantly slippery elm.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of this like weird, like marshmallowy and woodsy, hard to describe. But I got that in this beer, and I liked that about it. It kind of like played into those other flavors. Medium light body, very, very low carbonation. That really brought this beer down a lot, was the lack of carbonation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It even brought the tone in my voice down.
Just to emphasize.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So I think that kind of sums up my thoughts on the beer. Interesting. Definitely needed a little bit more TLC in the wrap up of fermentation. But, you know, it's not a total train wreck.
Woohoo! What did you score it?
I scored it 26.
It's good.
It's still in the good range.
Score.
See, there you go.
It's yeah.
All right, Brian. Well, let's talk about this recipe for a little bit.
Yeah, let's definitely talk about this. So my club, the Words of Wisdom, wordsofwisdom.org, Silicon Valley's homebrew club. we do so visit our website, and if you're local and you know, come to a meeting. We do a club comp every year called Broken Hydrometer.
Okay.
And we do different kind of fun things. And this year we had two big wooden dice, and we had to roll the dice. And that was the percentage of Admiral Malting's Kilned Caramel 35 you had to use in your recipe.
Huh. That's so kind of fun.
It's super fun. Yeah. So I had to... I ended
I wouldn't
up
go
with
super the, fun. It's kind of fun.
It's yeah. funny. Fun-ish. Yeah, fun adjacent. Fun.
Right. Yeah.
So I had a 16% Admiral Malting's caramel.
Okay.
So I thought, well, why not do a Cal Common? So my recipe is 16 pounds pale malt, 3 pounds kilned caramel 35.
Mm-hmm.
Being a California Common, primarily Northern Brewer hops, 2 ounces at 60 minutes, 3 ounces at 15, 3 ounces at flame out. I also used 2 ounces of Pecco.
What is Pecco?
Pecco is some stuff I found from the Yakima Hops webpage. Okay. I had to do something different.
Okay.
And I had never used it before. And I thought, well,
it's a hop.
It's a hop.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty cool hop.
Okay.
And I
feel like you're not like Nicole now. You're just making a bunch of weird stuff up. You're like making up herbs and weird shit up now.
I used Pecco and blue face
yes.
and fire flower and you know,
wow.
all kinds of stuff. Crazy, man. It's
was it
stuff.
The slippery Pecco or the non-slippery?
It was the slippery Pecco, and I used the whole... No, these were all pellet hops.
P-E-K-K-O.
You used the whole Pecco. Tube of it?
Because okay. the description was similar to Northern Brewer, and I thought, well, it'll be fun to try. So I used 2 ounces of Pecco at 10 minutes for flavor. My yeast was White Labs 810, the Cal Common. I was lazy, as we discussed in the previous episode,
yeah.
and rather than making a starter, which I typically do, I just put in 2 pure pitch into each. I made 10 gallons. I had 2 5-gallon fermenters. I just put 2 pure pitch into each fermenter, which may have been part of my fermentation difficulty. Because I think even if you're putting a lot of yeast in, there's a lot of value to just starting them up before you put them in your wort. I've always believed in even just waking them up for a few hours in a Erlenmeyer that there's some value to that. I let it ferment for about 3 weeks, temperature controlled, fermented it at, I think, around 62, dropped it down to about 40 before kegging, kegged on Monday. So today is Wednesday. So 2 days before this, I kegged. Well, I didn't rock the baby. I connected to about 25 PSI in the fridge, and that's why it's undercarbonated.
Okay.
I brought it over here. I took Bart over, which is like an hour and a half thing, and I drove to Bart to get to Bart. Like a big dummy, I filled this growler. It was a growler filled to get it here. I left about a 3-inch headspace in here rather than wait. Because I had some, I was 4 o'clock. I was rushing to get out the door and get some stuff together and get here. Rather than letting the head dissipate and like filling it up more and mm-hmm. minimizing headspace, I'm like, no, I'm fine. I got like 3 inches.
You'll be fine.
It'll be great.
I've done the same thing.
I know. I thought you just drank some on the way over.
Oh, God. I should have, but. No, I wouldn't drink out of the bottle. I'm going to pour to you. I'm not a barbarian. Come on. You're a human being.
You're a Bartbarian.
Bartbarian. So I'm walking this thing to Bart, and of course, that's my cooler's shaking, and I'm walking it all the way from Bart to Hop Grenade. So, of course, I got good and shook up.
Right.
And this is the first beer I pulled out of the keg. So it's hazy because this is where the yeast settled. So yeah. You're getting the first yeasty bite out of this. But my suspicion is the acetaldehyde, and that, Nicole, that raw pumpkin is extremely helpful. So I've occasionally had that in my beer, and that's really, man, I've never heard the raw pumpkin, but once you say that, I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, well,
it's totally there.
It's that homebrew taste.
it is homebrew flavor. That's exactly right.
Totally reading that description of the Pecco, where it says it can be likened to mint, juniper, or sage.
Sage. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I wonder if the sage is kind of thrown. I mean, it says backing up to tropical fruits, mm-hmm. but they're subdued in comparison to the herbal notes. And I wonder if. I don't know. I don't know what I'm wondering.
I know. I had 3 ounces
sage
of
goes
Northern
with that
Brewer.
Penny Royal kind of thing. That kind of similar. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I had 3 ounces of Northern Brewer right up 5 minutes beforehand. And there's so much Northern Brewer in here. I got to believe that. I mean, it's possible. I've not used Pecco before. I've got to believe that this is more of a fermentation issue from not having a starter.
Oh, yeah.
Than from having some weird sage aspect of Pecco.
I wonder how it's going to be with the carbonation. I mean, because we know that adds a lot to the beer, but I wonder if it would drive off some of that pumpkin thing.
The acetaldehyde is coming from the cell count not being high enough going mm-hmm. into the beer. And you can, sadly, you can also get it from over-pitching. But more than likely, like usually in homebrew, it's from inadequate cell count going into the beer, and the yeast just don't do the job all the way. Acetaldehyde is a precursor to ethanol, it's the last stop before ethanol, and yeast don't necessarily get that much out of converting it. So if it doesn't have to, it's not gonna. One of the main reasons that yeast convert acetaldehyde to ethanol is that acetaldehyde is more toxic to the yeast cell than ethanol is.
Interesting.
But they also get a small amount of energy from metabolizing it, but you know, not as much as they do from converting sugars, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a motivational thing. Like, you know, like, this is fine. Like, this environment isn't that toxic. I'm not going to do anything about it. It's getting cold. I'm just going to go to sleep now, you know? I mean, like, yeast is a living thing that's more similar to us than it's dissimilar. So sometimes personifying it can kind of help you understand how to motivate it.
That's very true. So the funny thing is I've currently am in a 10-gallon batch size until I get my Pico Z later on this summer.
There you go.
So I had, when I was kegging, I had 2 5-gallon fermenters. I had them each in a 5-gallon keg. And I had an older keg with a rubber ring was kind of loose. So I'm lifting it up straight up. I'm looking down on it, lifting it up. The rubber ring I didn't realize was structural. It came loose. I punched myself in the face. I actually have kind of a cut and a kind of a bruise here on my eyebrow.
Kick your own ass ale, Brian.
I kicked my own ass.
He kicked his own ass.
Just like Brian's beer. And next, before I was thinking, well, who punched me in the face? Like, oh, crap, it was me. I'm looking on the ground in my shed, and there's this keg is like pouring beer out of it. So I dumped like 3 gallons of this beer onto my shed floor. And then I had to like reach in. I dumped the rest in my yard. I don't feel so bad about having done that, having tasted this.
I was like, oh, darn, I wasted the shitty beer.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of like, oh, my God, I wasted 5 gallons of awesome beer, and now having drank this, I'm more like, it's probably good that I punched myself in the face.
How can you beat your own ass about it?
No. It's not horrid. It's palatable.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fine. Carbonated, it's probably going to be tolerable.
Yes.
If you are super proud of this beer and were so excited to give me a pint, I would drink the whole thing in front of you.
That's because you're a good friend, Nicole. I appreciate this.
If I had a pint of this, like the way it is now, and you were excited, I would take three sips. I'm like, you know, I'll go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And then I would come back with an empty glass. I go, man, that was really good. Thanks. I'm going to move on to the Pilsner. So
I appreciate you wouldn't like throw it in my face and, you know.
No, I wouldn't do that, mainly because I can see the damage that your fists do, and I don't want to cut out my eye.
Yeah. Imagine how much I could kick your ass if I could kick my ass like this.
Right. And you didn't even expect it.
Luckily, Brian's more about the process and can handle a little feedback.
For sure.
And not every beer he makes is...
Well, he's a grand dragon of the BJCP.
Hey,
so.
let's not go there. No dragons involved.
Yeah. All right, Brian. Well, hey, thanks for bringing your Esquire beer in. I appreciate that very much. We're done with feedback. We're good with feedback on Brian's beer. And
we're good.
Yeah. Breaking it down.
We got enough verbal abuse on the way here.
Pretty much, yeah. before we take a break, do I have to do my thing? Oh, yeah. The Homebrew Label Awards are on now. Go to homebrewlabelawards.com and enter your homebrew label. I know you guys are making labels out there. There's a lot of cool prizes. Blickman, of course, is in there. White Labs, I think Five Stars giving us some stuff away. There's some jockey boxes to win. So upload your label to homebrewlabelawards.com and tell all your friends to vote. And you can vote once a day for any label. There's a bunch of labels on there now. So get your stuff in early. Tell everybody to vote for your label and win big prizes. All right. Hang on. We'll be right back. This is, of course, Dr. Homebrew.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Cans.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. Before we get into the second beer, of course, you got to know about the city of Concord, and it's the perfect place to start or expand your craft beer business. That is what they want to let you know. You can call Brian Nunnally at 925-671-3030. 1-800-878-1818. He's ready to help you open up your beer business in Concord. It's centrally located in the Bay Area, has a strong craft beer demographic. The historic downtown is experiencing a boom with new businesses opening and a new apartment development in the pipeline. Located off major freeways, perfect for large-scale brewery operations or, you know what, beer bars, dude. Who cares? Let's go.
Or idiots doing podcasts in the back room of a bar.
Well, that is definitely what bars need less of because it's, you know.
Stinky, sweaty rooms with one fan that's spinning at top speed, but somehow there's no wind in here.
Well, because I feel like they just need to reverse the fan.
Oh, like blowing
isn't
up.
There a switch for doing that?
There is.
I think there is, yeah.
Look at Brian. Look at Esquire over here.
Great
fucking
combo.
Master electrician. Isn't there a switch?
I know about electricity because electrons move in a wire and stuff. And you can flip switches and, you know, things happen. I'm a knowledgeable electric guy.
That's
not only is he Perry Mason, he's also a MacGyver.
What beer are we pouring right now?
It's actually an old ale that I wrote the recipe for our club. We did.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Jogging your memory. Is
a little
club.
Bit.
So we got.
So Brian's
we inherited
totally
two.
Colorblind to this one.
Yeah, I'll let these guys judge it. It's
perfect.
Hard for me to judge. It's,
I got a four. So I gave myself a 49.
I like making old ales, but yeah, it's interesting to taste this one because I've only tasted the port barrel aged version of it, and this one is
which
is
I noticed
quite,
you didn't bring
quite different. No, yeah. I should have. Yeah.
Yeah. What's up with that, Brian?
I'm sorry.
I quit.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a fun project. We made 60 barrels, put it in a port barrel from Ramon Rios Winery in Tracy, and some of our guys know him, and he's come to our club meetings, and cool guy, and just donated the barrels for us, let us, you know, age it there at his winery.
Oh, wow.
And then we came back
that's cool.
You know, a year later and kegged it off of there, so... Yeah.
Oh, so you could have brought some.
I could have.
Oh,
it's
okay.
In my
he just
fridge
doesn't
at home.
Like us.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted that to be very clear that he could have brought the
but
thing.
He chose not to.
The better version of this, but
fine. We're not good enough.
Sorry.
We're not good enough. Knowing Brian, he probably doesn't have any more.
No, I still have it.
You motherfucker. I was giving you an out. I was giving you an out.
He just didn't feel like bringing it.
Yeah. Okay, who wants to start this one? I'm not used to having three people to choose from, so I'm just letting you battle royale.
I'll choose from those two.
I didn't do it. I was my beer was judged last time.
Esquire, go ahead.
I'm going to volunteer.
Go for it.
So I enjoyed this beer quite a bit. The aroma I thought had a lot of caramel and malt, definitely fruity esters. It got, you know, plum, peach, grape. No apparent hop aroma, which is okay for style. Old ale is more about the malt and the fruitiness and the sherry care. Didn't get the classic sherry. Having said that, it is largely, to my mind, kind of a classic old ale aroma with fruit and malt. Beer is very clear, medium to light brown. It's a thick head, tan color, medium-sized bubbles and settled quickly. I gave it a 3 out of 3. The bubble consistency, I thought, was pretty high. There were kind of large bubbles on this one.
Large bubbles, boys. Let's go. Only large bubbles.
Only large bubbles. Flavor, there's a lot of malt sweetness, but it was still well attenuated. You know, this is a very dry beer, and the sweetness comes just from the residual flavors of the malt and things that are happening in that beer. Low hop bitterness, really no hop flavor, almost a candy-like sweetness, and definitely sweet ethanol is in here, too. It's smooth and not harsh, balances toward malt, well-attenuated finish is malty. Although the bitterness, I think, to my mind, is a really long finish, and the bitterness comes up to balance at the very end. This is definitely a long finish. There is some cardboard oxidation in this. You know, I didn't get that up front, and I came back and kind of revisited that here a few moments ago with a warmer sample, and it's definitely more cardboard. Mouthfeel, is we give it a 12 for flavor. Mouthfeel, definite alcohol warming. High carbonation, but I think it was more perky than creamy. Not astringent. Carbonation, I think, really too high for this style, and maybe it's reflected in those big bubbles.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
So it's a flavorful and tasty beer. I mean, to me, one of the primary problems with this is the carbonic bite from the carbonation. Mm. It's probably about 50% more carbonated than it should be. This is a style that's supposed to be a low to moderate carbonation. Mm-hmm. It's one of the it's the classic British let's sit by the fire and have some Stilton and enjoy a heavy beer. And it's supposed to be all about the flavor and the carbonic. You need to have some carbonation to lift it off your tongue and let you taste it, but this is so highly carbonated.
Yeah, it's bitter and kind of acrid.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's to me the biggest problem with that.
Belgian level of carbonation.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
3.5 volumes, probably.
Yeah, I agree. And while there may be some other minor issues, to me, that's the biggest problem. I gave it a 36, thought it was very good. At this point, I'm not sure what you can do with it other than if you've kegged it, you know, vent it a few times and let some of the carbonation out. Or if you've bottled it, I guess you could go to the trouble of uncapping it, risking oxidation, letting it sit for a little while and recapping. But that's fraught with peril. Mm. But still, I mean, this is a very, I think, a very good beer with some carbonation issues.
Okay. What did you give it?
36.
36. Yeah. All right.
I should mention, too, that this is Kyle's beer from the last show.
Yes.
He was smart enough. He needed 5 gallons to donate to the club to get his keg back out of it.
Yeah.
But he brewed a 7.5-gallon batch so that he could taste the original versus the barrel-aged version
that
later.
That is smart.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole, go ahead, please, ma'am.
Which we can't do because I don't have the barrel-aged here.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Come to my garage later, though.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great. I'll never come back.
Yeah.
I'll end up in your sour beer project.
Now, meat and beer never work out. Meat's a bad choice.
So, segueing from that.
Good luck.
The aroma of this beer was so intensely black cherry-like from the combination of esters that are present and the malts that are present that I had to ask, wait, is there fruit in this beer? Like, if it's... The aroma, especially when you smell it from far away, is so overtly black cherry, which I really love in an old ale. Like, that's one of my favorite aspects of the style is when you get that intense cherry-like aroma, and then also when you get that, like, aspirin-like bitterness, and that's, like, the best version of the style for me. There's a... like pleasant esters combining with malt flavors that are like toasty, treacle, and a little bit nutty. And then a little bit of a woodsy character, maybe from some hops or just maybe from the combination of things going on. I did get a little bit of faint solventy character, like a little bit of most, not really like ethyl acetate, more like fusel alcohols.
Mm-hmm.
And a very faint sulfur character, but nothing that was too distracting. The beer appearance is hazy. It's a hazy light brown. That was a little bit of a turnoff. It's not pretty looking. I mean, old ales usually aren't like, you know, the most gorgeous
brown?
Color.
I would call it more of an like a
light
dark,
brown.
Dark amber, light copper, maybe.
It's like Advil brown.
I don't know. Yeah.
Dark amber, light brown. Yeah. I mean, you know, six and one, half a dozen together, right? But the cloudiness is high, and you know, I don't really associate that with the style. I kind of would like to see a little bit more clarity, maybe not brilliant, but the intense cherry flavor continues in the into the flavor as well, not just the aroma. Although, especially once you get the beer in your mouth, you realize that like a lot of the interesting. What might have been the more interesting malt aromas are kind of all trending towards like honey cake, fruit cake, the things that I like to refer to as brown goo, which a lot of like high alcohol, rich beers, like, you know, various ones, barley wines, old ales, even some Belgian dark strong ales, like when they reach a certain level of age, they all just are on this like trajectory and that. End of that trajectory is brown goo, like just like
a muddle, a muddy cake. Thing of flavors that are all kind of you can't really distinguish one from the other.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't taste bad, but there's also nothing distinguishably special about it. Like
right.
It's like honey dates.
Is that just happen over the lifetime of the beer, or is that a recipe issue that you can sort of plan for?
No,
or
I mean, it's
just
the
kind
way
of
these
is.
Malts oxidize, you okay. know? That's, so that's just where, that's where these beers end up. That's mm-hmm. why when people are like, ooh, I have this, like, 10-year-old barley wine. I'm like, that's cool. I kind of already know what that tastes like.
Yes. Right. Yeah, man. I did a flight of, like, Bigfoot. And
I
just
was
happened
there.
To have, that's right. And it was like, oh, the best Bigfoot was 3 years old, two years old,
yeah.
2015. It was like anything earlier than that's kind of all just...
All tastes same.
Oh, thank God. I had to leave before you got too deep into that, so I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't
Every
amazing.
Once in a while, something will surprise you. So it's always worth saving that bottle and seeing what it tastes
sure.
like.
Sure.
Because every once in a while...
Purely academic reasons, like, okay, like one bottle, but you don't need to sit on a fucking pack
yeah,
or whatever.
But like 99 times out of 100... Brown goo.
Yeah.
Brown
yeah,
goo.
I got you. I got you.
That's a trademark, by the way.
Brown goo.
Brown goo. Trademark by Nicole Ernie, Master Cicerone.
TM right now. Call me later for the R and the circle.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, Ryan.
I'll charge you the friend rate.
So, one of my favorite things about these kind of beer styles are like the mix of esters that you get that kind of combine into something else. You know, like there is really no ester that tastes like black cherry, but... When you get the combination of esters along with the malt aromas that you get from English ale styles, you get that cherry-ish thing. It's really high in this beer. I do love that. There are some indicators of oxidation, though. Like, the aroma is a little better than the flavor because once you get the beer in your mouth, you're like, oh, things get a little disjointed. Like, the aromas that were more cohesive, once you get the beer in your mouth, like, they're kind of... spread out, and you get like a little, the fusel alcohols are kind of hanging out on one side, and then you have the cherry aroma, and you have some of the like yummy malt flavors, but they're in my mind, the way I see it, when these kind of beers get a little over the hill, it's like the flavors spread out from each other in space.
Okay.
And instead of like being unified in this tight, cohesive bundle of flavor, they're just kind of like, bleh, like splat on the wall, and they're not as enjoyable as they might have been. So even though it's ironically is an old ale, but it is a little over the hill.
Okay.
From my perspective,
I like flabby ale. I call it muddled.
Yeah,
sometimes
flabby.
Instead of like brown
muddled,
goo.
Yeah.
Then JP's like, "Well, define muddled. You know,
yeah.
from a judge's perspective, what does muddled mean to you?
I want to know.
It just means muddled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just say brown goo from now on.
Brown goo
brown
is the
goo.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Muddled means
trademark.
Muddled means brown goo, and brown goo means muddled.
Brown goo's
heard it here
trademark.
First. Yes.
But the one thing I really did like about the beer is that it's like medium light bodied for this style. It's pretty well attenuated, even though it still has like the nice, you know, like caramelly, treacly malt flavors. It's not overly sweet. The high carbonation exacerbates how dry it seems. Mm-hmm. It's cutting the beer a little bit too much.
Totally agree.
But yeah, I think I've kind of covered everything.
Okay. What'd you give it?
I gave it a score of 33.
All right.
I did enjoy the beer.
Good job. Brian, do you want to comment on anything?
I agree with a lot of what was said there. And yeah, it's just like the aroma is nice. Once you get it in that, the cherry-like and in there, a little apricot-like, it's nice in the aroma. And in the flavor... I think part of the problem is, too, that high carbonation just starts pushing things out sideways, and it's like just driving it really hard. It kind of prickles at first in your mouth. And
yeah.
And, I mean, it should be a nice, you know, if it was a little less carbonated, that toffee-like would be maybe a little more enjoyable.
How is the flavors that you're tasting here translate to the finished beer? I know it was a blend and in a port barrel, but...
Yeah, the port barrel has gone...
Yeah, help us imagine.
A little...
Yeah. Oh, use your words to describe what we could be easily
like,
tasting.
Brian?
Yeah,
It has gone kind of Brett-y, and it's really quite... It's quite pleasant in the barrel.
Oh, good.
Like
that
it.
Sounds great for you.
It's
the whole audience is like, welcome to our life.
Yeah,
we're still listening.
The audience is unable to drink it as we are.
Basically. Yeah,
it's kind of bretty and leathery and fun.
Oh, do
and,
go on.
Port, you know, the port
sounds
barrel.
Dirty.
I just, like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, that the port-like quality of the old ale is something that's kind of fun. And I thought, well, let's just do a port barrel-aged old ale. And it was a pretty nice port, too. We had some of the port when we were brewing it. It was like, oh, cool, you know. And yeah, it has, you know, what I miss in this beer is that it does need more of that sherry-like character and the aged character, and that barrel just does it. Like, I think old ale kind of needs some wood.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have that.
Well, what doesn't need some wood?
Metal.
No comment.
Okay, well then we have our $40 gift certificate to Grog Tag to give away. By the way, in case you didn't know, Grog Tag is your one-stop homebrew customization shop. They have it all from reusable beer and wine labels to durable metal signs to high-quality coasters, and everything is customizable. So get creative over on grogtag.com with one of their hundreds of templates, and they will print it on high-quality materials and ship it out to you. That's how you get it. They print it, and then they ship it to you. Go to grogtag.com today and use code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order. Who gets the $40 at least your beer will look good gift certificate, Brian?
Sorry, Kyle, but the Grog Tag this week goes to our Legal Eagle resident beer expert, Mr. Shar.
Brian, I appreciate that. But having said that, I'm sort of a pseudo-employee.
Brian is an employee. And
so I really feel like I'm ineligible to receive that.
This is the only payment you're going to get. Just take it.
Pretty much.
Well, I'll leave that up to Jason.
Well, if Brian wants to donate his $40 gift certificate to Kyle, I will happily email
him.
I
feel like it will be unethical for me to receive that boon, and I will be happy to donate that to Kyle.
Okay, perfect. You're a good man.
What? You don't want your beer to look good?
I'm a good man. Most of the time.
Okay, I think that's it for us, right? I think we're out of here, Brian.
Yeah. Brian squared.
Never wanted
Let's
to
go
end.
Home. Let's get out of here. It is late.
Let's do things.
We
stuff.
Have all dinner to eat, apparently.
JP has more work to do.
I got more work to do. I got to sit here and edit all this nonsense that we did. Thank you very much to everybody for being a part of the show. Thank you very much to the AHA, who reminds you to join the American Homebrewers Association and save money at nearly 2,000 destinations around the country through their member deals program. You can save money on beer
drinking now
and brewing supplies. They provide resources and hosting one-of-a-kind events, all that kind of stuff. AHA, homebrewassociation.org. Join them or suffer the consequences. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we will see you later. Goodbye.